That's wonderful. There's a reason that they call them grandchildren, because they're a lot of fun, aren't they? All right. Today we are going to continue on in a series that we have been talking about for a few weeks called Ministering in Maturity. Actually, this is the fifth session, the fifth topic that we have covered in this, and we're going to keep going until we cover everything that the Holy Spirit wants us to cover. As a matter of fact, there's so much to be said in the study that we're talking about today that we're going to take 2 weeks to do the topic that we're going to be speaking about today. And we're going to, for those of you who have not been a part of this before, the premise behind this series is the truth found in Ephesians 4:11 and following, 4:11 through 4:13, which says that churches exist to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That the people that stand in front of you once or twice a week to speak to you, to teach to you, and then other groups that you're a part of on a regular basis to learn and the Word of God and to study of the Word of God exist for the express purpose of equipping you to do the work of the ministry. God has called every single person in this room to be a minister. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Everybody look in the mirror and say, that means you. That's right, that is you. And you may be called, you may not be called to stand up in front of a group of people and teach them or preach to them. That may not be what you're called to do. But that does not mean, just because you're not called to stand up in a place kind of like this to minister, that doesn't mean you're not called as a minister. Because people are either called as part of the fivefold equipping ministries, or they're called to minister out in the marketplace or in another scenario and out there. But regardless, your call is as real as mine. And you are as responsible for your call as I am for mine. And I let that sink in a little bit. Some people don't believe that. They say, no, you don't understand. I work at the water department. Therefore, that's my deal. And so all that other stuff in my life, all that spiritual stuff you're talking about, that's optional. That's something that I can choose to do if I have time or whatever, if the circumstances fall correctly. Those are things that I can do if I have time. No, we're all called to minister. God understands what your schedule is, but He has a ministry for you to do to the body of Christ, a ministry for you to do to lost people out there whom you're with on a day-by-day basis. He has a ministry for you to do out there. He has a desire for you to encourage the saints that are out there among you and in your workplaces and around your homes. He has a desire for you to go to those who don't know the Lord and to really love them and care about what happens to them and to speak to them and be there for them. He has a desire for you to go on your job and minister there. Now, I know that's going to look different in everybody's situation and circumstance, but God will tell you how to do it. He's the one who called you to do it. He'll equip you to do it, and He'll tell you how to do it. And you just have to be willing to accept that call and understand that it does speak to you as well as to me. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, in the New Living Testament, it says this: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. That's why I'm calling this teaching today, Know What Step You're On. You need to know what step you're on. Now, several places in the Word of God, our Christian life is compared to a walk. It's compared to a walk. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 5:25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And when you're talking about stepping, you're talking about walking. Now, some of you are going to take a walk today. It's going to be beautiful. Some of you are going to get out and take a walk on this Sunday afternoon. And even if you start off without a destination in mind, you're still going somewhere. Well, that'll preach right there. It doesn't matter if you start off and just say, well, I'll just go this way. I don't really have a destination in mind. You're still going to end up somewhere. Now, God, when He leads us in our spirit walk, our destination and our pathway are planned by Him. It's not happening haphazardly. It's happening by direction of God. The Bible says that the Lord directs each step of our lives, even involving Himself in the details of each step. The Bible states that since believers live by the direction of the Spirit, then we've got to keep in step with the Spirit. We should consult the Lord for the direction of our lives. It's time to pull out my glasses. We should look to the Lord. We should ask the Lord. We don't need to be the kind of people who do this. Well, I'm just going to live anyway and do anything that presents itself, and I'll just ask the Lord to bless it. And that's what a lot of us do. But really, as believers, if our steps are ordered by the Lord, then we need to be seeking Him about the direction for our lives. And many people ask this question in life. They say, what's next for me? What is next for me? And that's a great question to ask. It's an important question because the Spirit is taking us somewhere. And the Lord wants us to follow the direction He has for us. So that's a great question to ask. And if you don't consider the Lord's direction that He has laid out for you when you make decisions, then your steps are going to be ordered by things like this: fear, likes and dislikes, fleshly desires, whatever you're comfortable with, etc., etc., etc. Those are going to be the type of things that guide your steps, are going to determine where you end up. That's a whole lot different than being led by the Spirit. And we're all going to be held accountable for how we followed the Lord. Hello. That's a good place to say amen. Boy, some people just fight against this. I can feel it. No, Jack. That ain't me. That's not me. That's not the way life is set up. Well, it's set up that way in the Scriptures. And that's the way the Lord wants us to walk. And we're all going to be accountable for how we followed Him. Just like the early disciples, Jesus is turning to each one of you and saying, follow me. Do you think He knows where He's going? Do you think He has a plan to get there? Or do you think it's just aimless? No, Jesus is looking at us as His disciples saying, follow me. And if you don't end up where He's leading, then you kind of got lost. You didn't kind of, you did. If you don't end up where He's leading, then you just got lost along the way. Now, how do you know where you are and what you should do next? I'm glad you asked. That's what we're talking about today. I want to talk to you about today and next week about some steps to answering the call of God. Steps to answering the call of God. Now, the first step, if you're going to answer the call of the Lord in your life, if you're going to be able to hear Him speaking to you and telling you what you should do, if you're going to truly ask Him and take His call to follow me seriously, then the first thing you're going to have to do is very difficult. You're going to have to hear from God. You're going to have to hear from Him. Now, here's where a bunch of people fall by the wayside. They fall by the wayside right here because there are many people who don't want to believe they're called by God to touch others. They don't feel qualified. They don't want to do that. They don't want to take the time. They want to leave that to somebody else. So they just ignore what they hear. Or some people just refuse to ask God. They say, hey, I hear what you're saying, Jack, but I'm not going to pray. I don't care what you say. I'm just not going to pray about it. And we actually think that that's going to get us off the hook. Well, God's direction didn't change no matter what we decide to do. And you know, I know we all have this picture of this benevolent Jesus that we're all going to stand in front of someday, and His answer is going to be the same for everybody. It's not going to really matter. All of the believers, He's going to say, look, Marty, I know, man, you're in intentions were good. You're a good-looking guy. Your intentions were good. You tried real hard. And even when you didn't, I understand why you didn't. You know, look, I wasn't serious about all that stuff I said. Just forget about it. Come on in. Let's all have a good time. All right, let's get serious. Aren't there a lot of us that really think that's the way our encounter with Christ is going to be someday? I'm serious. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about our encounter with the Lord. And I'm not talking about standing before Him to be judged whether we're going to be saved or not. But there's going to be a reward ceremony that we're going to stand in front of God to be rewarded based upon whether we did what He told us to do or not. And you know, and whether we used the gifts and talents that He gave us for His glory or whether we didn't. And there's an argument to be made for the fact that if we say we're saved and yet never do anything He tells us to do, there's an argument to be made that we're not. There's an argument to be made there. Look, my faith is in you. I just don't want to follow you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I trust you implicitly. I trust you with my eternal destiny. The only problem is I don't trust you now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do what I want to do in the now. Well, how can you trust Him with something you've never seen when you can't trust Him in this stuff? And the Lord's not quite as dumb as we think He is. I mean, you know, He knows the answer to every calculus equation. He knows the answer to the calculus equations that haven't even been come up with yet. He knows why that math that they call chaos works. It's not chaos to Him. He knows why they put in certain equations and certain answers come out. He knows all of that. It's not like we're able to fool Him in any way. Boy, it's quiet in here. I mean, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and then all of you go up to get your rewards before I go up, and then when I get up there, every single one of you turn around and say, well, He didn't tell me that.
That's right. Come on.
He didn't tell me that. When I get up there, I want to be clean of your blood. I don't want to have your blood on my hands. All right? And I'm not saying that selfishly, because if we'll all take the call to God seriously, guess what? We can affect this world in a way that they'll be talking about Capstone like they used to talk about those disciples. Here come the people that turn this everything upside down. They're just tough to deal with. When we say up, they say it's down. When we say we ought to go left, they say we ought to go right. When we say Jesus is not important, they say they'll die for Him. Here come those people. And we'll have to be somebody that Satan's going to have to deal with. But we're not worried about that, because He's under our feet. And we're going to fulfill the call that God has for us. But you've got to be willing to ask. You've got to be willing to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Refusing to ask God about your calling or refusing to accept it still falls under the category of rebellion. It's still, and you know what Jesus, you know what the Bible equates, Jesus did, but you know what the Bible equates rebellion to? Witchcraft. How many witches are going to get into heaven? Practicing witches. Okay, then we say that we're practicing out of the same spirit. He's cool with it. You know, we can't be making up scenarios in which we devise our own salvation. We have to get back to the book. And we have to look at the way the book says, because that's what is going to happen in the last day. I mean, when we stand before Him, He's going to go by what His word is, not by what we imagined or made up in our minds. All right, you say, boy, this is really heavy. Well, it's going to get better. Here's the good thing. God has a specific word for you. Man, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that someday God's going to give you a white stone with a new name written on it that nobody knows but you and Him. Man, it's going to be special. You're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to hand you something that had never entered into the mind of you or anyone else. And it's going to be a new definition of who you are. And man, God has words to give you now that are a part and a parcel of what He's going to give you on that day. And man, He's got something to show you. The living God is going to take time. The one who created the universe, the one who put everything together, is going to take time to come to your house or to your car. And He's going to speak to you and say, this is what I have for you. This is my inheritance. This is the part of me that you're going to fulfill in this life. This is what I want you to do to bring glory to me. Oh! Man, you can have your half-court baskets. You can have your touchdowns at the end of the game. There's nothing that equates to that. When the living God speaks to you. This morning I got in my chair all cold, put the blanket over me, man, and God started speaking. And I said, oh my God. I said, there is nothing like this. I wouldn't trade this for anything. And he's got something to say to you. And some people say, oh no. Listen, God doesn't have all bad stuff to say. Some people think everything he says is negative because that's where you were raised. If God says anything to you that has a don't in it or a stop in it, that's only because he loves you. Okay? It's for your good. All right? But beyond all of that, he has something to say. He says, man, I'm going to use you for glory. And one day, Gladiator won't be just a movie. One day you're going to stand up in this array of all of these warriors. And they're all going to be dressed in victory garb. And he said, you are going to have a place there. Among that group. Among the most holy, powerful, fighting force that the world has ever known in the history. The world has ever known or ever will know. You're going to get to stand before the one, with the one who conquered everything, including death. Jesus. Man, I tell you what, there's nothing that equates to that, nothing that's more important to that. He has a vision for your life, and he is going to reveal it to you. Ignoring it and pleading ignorance is just not going to work. But I'm going to tell you something. There are lots of folks that live with the tag Christian on them. And I'm not saying you're not a believer. I believe you are. In many instances. But we read the Bible and we say, I don't see life in the Bible anywhere like it is now. And there's a part that's disappointed in us. And say, such great promise and no fulfillment. If you want to go from promise to fulfillment, then hear from God. Don't be satisfied with the day-by-day mundane things. Go to him. He can transform mundane day-by-day things and make them something in his purpose that you'll see, now I see what's going on here. And man, your life will get exciting. Sometimes it gets so exciting for Rhonda and I feel like I want to get off. Every so often I think, man, you know, I mean, I could stand just a little quiet for a few days. But you know what? Then the Lord says, well, you know, do you want to go back to where you were? And I say, no way, Jose. I want to stay in this because this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? My body gets tired like yours gets tired. I need mental rest like you need mental rest. But boy, don't let me off of this, Lord. Because I've heard from God. I remember the day that I laid on my bed in Rockwall, Texas, in that ugly house with the green shag carpet. I remember. Boy, that was ugly carpet. And I remember we could have gotten the cows in and they'd have grazed on it. It was bad. Long like that. It's one thing to have it short, but you know, it's all over. And I laid on my bed and my wife went to the store. And I just got down on my bed and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I was a banker. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And he spoke to me, came right in that room. Right there in that room that had those cartoon, it was in my kid's room. It was in my little kid's room with the borders that had cartoon characters and all that red and white and blue and garish colors. And he came right in that room. And he said, I want you to get out from where you are. Leave where you are and go to the place I want you to go. I was like, you got, really? He said, yes. He goes, I've got something for you. And I want you to go. Well, what about my wife? He said, don't you worry about her. I'll talk to her. She came back that very same day, and I told her, I said, this is what the Lord said. And she goes, well, as soon as I walked out the door and shut the door, she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to tell your husband to leave this place. And she said, and that's me. And we got up and we started getting prepared to go. And we came over to Fort Worth. An opportunity just made itself available for us to come to Fort Worth. And man, then when I was sitting in a congregation in Fort Worth, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm bringing you here. And I was like, wow, really? Yes, that's what we're doing. And it was just walking it out. The steps. Not the unthought out leaps, but the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. See, there you are. And God's got a door open for you. And you're down here and God says, I want you to start walking. And he's ready to talk to you about what the steps are. So, the first thing you have to do is hear from God. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Saul of Tarsus asked this question when confronted by God. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when we're confronted with God, that ought to be the question that we ask. Lord, what do you want me to do? The second thing you've got to do is not just hear from God, you've got to answer the call. And I know this sounds simple, but this is where we lose a whole bunch of other people. Some people don't even want to pray about it. We can talk about it till we're purple in the face. They've created their own Jesus, and so they don't have to answer it. But then some people, they don't have to go and ask God, is what I'm trying to say. But then when God does speak to you, you've got to be willing to say yes. And this is where we lose tons of people, and this is where I've seen another large segment of people get lost. Many hear God speaking to them about what he wants them to do, but they go no further. They allow things like this to stop them. I'm afraid I'll fail. Or I'm too busy. Or this is going to cost me too much. Or no one in my family's ever done anything like this. I don't have the resources. I don't have the intelligence. I don't have the backing. Whatever. And they allow things like that to get them to stop. Or maybe it's just very simply a blonde-headed, blue-eyed distraction of some sort that gets in the way. I can't tell you how many people come to me saying, I'm supposed to minister in the jails. Or I'm supposed to have people in my home for worship. Or I'm supposed to be in full-time ministry. Man, do you understand? When somebody comes up to me and says that to me, that is a holy thing they're bringing. And then the next thing I know, they just disappeared. And I know God didn't take them home because he told them they had something to do here. I mean, just disappear. I tell you what, I have had several young men, I can think of two, in the last year, young men that came to me and said, I'm called to go in the ministry. That was the last I saw of them when they said that to me. And I need you to help me. And then I didn't see them anymore. And I think about that call, and I think about what's happening with it. And I think about them, and I think about them standing before the Lord someday with that responsibility. And I just pray, I say, Lord, please, I hope somehow that works out somehow in their life, that you'll get them in a place where they'll obey that call. But we'll hear the call, but we don't answer it for all kinds of reasons. And when you hear God talking to you, now God's going to tell some of you guys some things that's fantastic. And when I mean fantastic, I don't mean it's just great. I mean it's like, ain't no way. That's way over the top, God. I mean, you're kind of like Joseph. You've had some dreams. And I don't think you ought to go tell everybody what your dreams are. You saw what happened to Joseph when he did that. We're going to talk about what to do with it next week. Or here in a minute. Okay, just in a minute, because I am going to get that far today. But, you know, God's going to show you guys some fantastic stuff. And you're going to go, oh my God, can that be real? And you're going to keep seeking the Lord about it. And he's going to keep confirming it to you in your heart and in your spirit. And it's real easy to talk yourself out of those kind of things. But no matter how fantastic God, what God shows you is, your answer is always what? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say yes.
Yes.
The two words that never go together in a sentence are no, Lord. No, Lord. No, Lord. We always say yes to the Lord. Always. And we have to learn to be yes people, not to other people, but to God. And say, yes, Lord. How's that going to come to pass? That ain't your business. Bad English. That's not your business. And that's the first thing I'll tell you. If you talk to me about it, I'll say, don't worry about it. I say, because you got to know what step you're on. You may not be on the step you saw. And that may not be the next step. You're only responsible for hearing the next step. You're not responsible for creating that coming, making that come to pass. You can't do that. And if you did, God, woe be unto you. God's responsible for making that happen. Okay? You are responsible for just walking it out like that little guy we saw, step by step. Now, he's not going to jump from step one all the way up to step 32 up there where the fulfillment of that vision is. He's going to do this. One step at a time. Okay, Lord, what's the next step? Okay. You see what I mean? He's not going to try to get to the door today. He's going to walk it out as God reveals it to him. He's going to trust God to make it happen. He's going to know that every step is important. Okay? All right. Now, the third step to answering the call to God, and this is the last one we're going to talk about today. Get with someone to confirm the call. Find someone who's spiritually mature and tell them what God has spoken to you. Not necessarily your grandmother. That could be a good one. But sometimes grandmothers and mothers have dogs in the hunt. You know, remember the mother that came to Jesus, said, grant that my sons may sit at your right hand, your left hand, in your kingdom. She had a dog in the hunt. That's what we say in Texas. She had a desire for her boys to be number one. And so that was the dog she had in the hunt. And so it kind of skewed her counsel a little bit. Find somebody who's spiritually mature, who only cares about the will of God coming to pass in your life, who doesn't mind looking at you and saying, I'm not sure about that. We need to pray about that. Or somebody who says, well, you know, maybe I think that may be God. Let's seek God about it. Okay? You need to find somebody that's mature enough to really seek the Lord with you about it. Okay? Have them pray with you about what God has said. Now, some of us, I know what some people think. They go, I don't want to do that because the answer is going to be no. Listen, in Acts 13, there were some people that were praying there in the church. Paul and Barnabas were two that were there praying. The Holy Spirit spoke to the whole group and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have for them. All right? If you're planted securely in a church, people are going to hear. The spiritually mature people that aren't scared that somebody's going to take their place, that's not the definition of a spiritual mature person. I'm talking about somebody who really wants the will of God, and they're secure in their own calling. Okay? You go to them, and you get them to pray about it, and they will hear from God, just like you have. They'll be able to confirm the call. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Some people get in trouble by running with a division just like a dog that found a bone. Oh, look! And there they go. And they're off somewhere. And with no one to help them, with no one to talk to them, they don't know what they're doing. They're not sure about what's supposed to do next. But boy, they just grabbed it and they went out. Or they went off and rented Arlington Stadium. You know, God showed them one day they'd be speaking before large groups of people, so the next thing they do, they call Jerry Jones. Can I rent the stadium? we've got the car vent there, and who are you? And I'm not saying you have to be anybody, but that's just what some people do. You know, and that may not be the next step. That may be what's at the top of the steps. You see? Maybe the next step is to go to Union Gospel and start speaking down there and getting it confirmed there. You know, that's what God is really saying, because that's what He'll do. He'll confirm it. We don't know what the next step is, but we just need to seek God about it. But we don't need to go to Jerry, okay, and call him and try to set up the stadium if that's what you're supposed to do. All right. Know what step you're on. Everybody say, know what step you're on.
Know what step you're on.
If you're on step one, God doesn't expect you to get to 25 tomorrow. Okay? All right. Remember the title of the lesson, Know What Step. And godly counsel will help you to determine what your next step is. Don't be afraid to go to somebody and say, these are vision stealers. We're not vision. We don't want to be vision stealers. We want to be vision builders. We don't want to steal vision. And we don't want to direct you. We don't want to control your life. I've got way enough to do with me. I can't take care of myself. I sure don't want to take you and try to control your life and everything that happens. But I do know that we need to seek God, because haste can cause problems too. Unless the Lord is calling for haste, it does not. Haste can cause big problems. And we can get out there and fall flat on our face, be very disillusioned, and say, what happened here? Why didn't God support the vision? And He's saying, well, wait a minute. There were 24 steps between this one and the one you tried to do. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about next week a little bit, is we're going to get in depth a little bit more about steps. But here's what you do. You're going to have to hear from God. You say, well, I'm not called a full-time ministry. Well, you're called to minister where you are. Okay? How do you know you're not called a full-time ministry unless you've asked? And I'm not trying to, I can't call anybody to full-time ministry. I can't. But you need to ask God. You need to go to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm a minister. How do you want me to minister? It may be in the workplace. It may be ministering to your doctors that you work with, to the people with you. And then in conjunction with that, God may show you something else. Also have a call on your life to minister to women whose husbands aren't saved, or to do this or to do that, or to minister to children or to teens. Okay? But you got to hear from Him. Then you got to accept the call. Then you got to say, yes, Lord, I will do that. I will not allow myself to be talked out of it. I will not sit here and figure out the 900 reasons it can't happen. Moses tried that. It doesn't work. Okay? That doesn't work. You can sit there and tell God all the reasons, and you know what it will finally get down to? Finally it'll get down to, He'll say, okay, I've heard everything you got to say. Are you going to go or are you not? You going to do it or are you not? Bottom line, let's get down here. I'll send some people to help you. But are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? All right? I need to know. And the third thing is, when you start sensing that God's speaking something to you, go and get it confirmed. Go to Pastor Roy. Go to Pastor Bob. Go to me. Go to Pastor John. Go to somebody that you trust. If you're not sure about going to that person yet, then go to somebody in your life who's not going to look at you and say, yes, I have a dog in the hunt. Oh, yes, please, that will make me feel so good if you were do all these things. I mean, go to somebody. I mean, I'm glad people love you, but go to somebody who'll pray with you about it and say, pray with me about this, man. You know, I remember when this started happening in my life, and I'll be done with this. The Lord started speaking to me, and He said, I've called you to go into full-time ministry. And I thought, boy, a bunch of other people must have turned this down. I mean, we're way down the line here. You know what I mean? Boy, gee, you know. Man, Well, a lot of people did, you know what I mean? But I thought, we've really got down the line here. But anyway, I went and I'll never forget. I was going to a premarital. You and I were going to premarital together. And I was sitting, and it was almost the end of the premarital session. I didn't know him at all. All I knew was he was a guy I had to go counsel with. And at the right when we were just about wrapping up, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to ask him, tell him that I've called you into a counseling ministry. Now, that was what God showed me at the beginning, remember? You got to walk it out step by step. I knew I was supposed to do it, give my whole time and energy to it. But that was the first step he showed me. So I said, he said, tell him that I've told you to do that. And he goes, well, he don't know me. He don't care. This is a big church. There's pastors here. There's seminary people here. You don't remember how it was, Ross. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that church was full of pastors and counselors and people, and you're like, well, that is the most stupidest thing I have ever heard. There's thousands of people in this church that are more qualified, and they're probably in line before me. The Lord said, I said, ask him. And I sat there and said, well, I didn't ask him. I mean, and so I got up to walk out, and for some reason, he walked me all the way to the door. We're walking all the way to the door of the church office. You understand what I'm saying? We're walking along there, and man, I could just hear the Lord doing like this, ask, 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 ask. And so finally, I said, okay. I could see beyond that door, and I just felt like if I opened that door and stepped out without asking, I was going to step off out of the airplane without a parachute. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And so I said, you know, the Lord told me to ask. I feel like I'm called to go into counseling ministry. The Lord told me to ask you, what do I do? He grinned and said, you know what? He said, while we were sitting in the room together counseling, the Lord spoke to me and told me he'd call you, but he said to wait for you to say something first. Wasn't that the answer? I went. And then I said, what do I do? He said, I don't know, but let's get together. And we did. And you know what my first step was? Well, you're going to have to go back to school. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, do you know how old I am? And more importantly than that, do you know how much money I don't have? How many kids? Well, I had one at that time, and she wouldn't leave me alone, so we had two more while I was in school. I was doing the best I could do, Russ. She's out in the backyard, seriously, asking the neighbor lady, how do I get pregnant? Remember that? Huh? I know, I need to stop, don't I? I know that. We won't go any further. Okay. But anyway, so that was my first step. Now, that didn't mean that's yours. Now, God didn't say, go start a church. God didn't say, go rent a facility. But that's, you know, ultimately, I really thought I was going to end up doing something like this because as time went by, the Lord began to show me things. But that's not what he said. He told me to do it. And I told him, I said, Lord, I had read the story of David over and over again. How many of you like to read David's life? And I had read it so many times and I saw something different in that guy. And I said, I want, when all this works out in my life, I want to have made it like he did. I want to get there like he did. And as a matter of fact, Pastor Roy, I think it was, he even recommended that I read this book. And I told you I'd share some things with you every so often. This is a book, the cover's different on it now. But it's a book called A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. This book has meant so much in my life. I have very few books other than the Bible that really have had a major impact on me. I read this book again this weekend. this book had a tremendous impact on my life about how you get somewhere and the right way. And so I would recommend you could to pick it up. Lorraine can get you some copies or whatever, you can read it. But I wanted to not just get there, I wanted to get there the right way. And so wherever you are, see, if you're like this little guy on the bottom here, you got to hear from God. When you hear from God, He'll show you the door. Okay? He'll show you the door. And then you need to say, yes, Lord, I'll go through the door. That's the second thing you got to do. He'll show it to you. You got to say, yes, Lord, I'll go through it. And then you go to somebody else and you say, pray with me about this and help me to discern from God what the next step is. Because the order to get there is what? Step by step, right? Step by step. And you don't want to skip steps, and we'll talk about that next week. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so very much for your call in our lives, for your order in our lives, for your direction in our lives. We love you, but more importantly, we're thankful that you love us. Lord, you haven't called us to live a mundane life with no excitement, with no joy. Father, you've called us to be a part of something massive, huge, and that is your kingdom. And Father, there are many adversaries to this kingdom. So Lord, we can't think that we're going to skate along without opposition. Lord, I know many people's goal in life is to get through life with as little upset as possible. And that's really their goal. I just want to get through life as easily as I can. And whatever pathway takes me there, whatever I have to avoid, whatever I don't have to do, that's what I'll do. And Lord, that's not the kind of life you've called us to. You have a plan for us. So Father, first of all, we need to hear from you. And many of you guys in this room have already. You've already seen. He's already showed you something. Okay? If you haven't, just ask God. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then live with joy and trust Him to reveal to you. And then the second thing, when we show us, Lord, we have to say yes to it, Father. We can't talk ourselves out of being able to go through. And then the third step, Lord, is to figure out what is step one. And Father, we need to get with somebody that's spiritually mature and help us pray through this process. Father, so we can learn and discern what step one is. And Lord, we just give you so much praise for your work in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that there's not anyone too old in this room to still be used by God. Moses, at 80 years old, liberated a nation by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So, Father, we give you praise in the precious name of Jesus. Now.